All right, thanks, Jordan. So first off, I'm just going to do a review of the current DOS rate and effectively how it functions today. And then we'll move on to the ISO's proposal. But I just wanted to make sure we get a common understanding of the current DOS rate so you can see where the changes are going to be made. So if we move to slide 16, as Nicole mentioned, DOS has been around a long time. Back 2001 is when, around that time frame, maybe even in the late 1990s, it's hard to tell actually, that this rate was first proposed to the commission at the time, or the Energy Utilities Board. The original application from ESBI Alberta Limited, which was the transmission administrator at the time, and described opportunity service as a short-term temporary service that would be provided on an as-available basis that would be available to customers who could clearly demonstrate that the use of the system would not be economically viable under other rates, mainly the core demand DTS rate. The energy under this rate would be used for short periods in order to avoid the impact on contract demand, and also to help avoid ratchet charges that would otherwise result. So in that application, back then, the ESBI, Alberta Limited, the former TA, stated that the objective of the opportunity service was to reduce the level of average rates charged to other customers by applying the extra revenue earned from the use of temporary underutilized transmission assets. So again, the primary definition of what an opportunity service is. Pricing of the opportunity service would be on a value of service basis rather than a cost basis, and that the criteria should be applied that would ensure that those that are eligible for the rate are not cannibalizing the other revenues. So if we go to the next slide, that application was filed with the Energy and Utilities Board, and the Energy and Utilities Board agreed with the rate, but went further to state that consistent and reliable application of the qualification criteria is essential to the success of that rate. So in order to improve the chances that there would be benefit for other customers, that they also said that the TA at the time should include regular screening and audits of the use of the rate to ensure that it's still a revenue maximizing rate. Next slide. So we'll go to slide 18. So what we're going to cover in the review of DOS is essentially how the current rate was derived. We covered that in our last session, in four, but I'll restate it again here. And then we'll walk through the mechanical parts of how DOS works, how you apply for it, the DOS application process, how you go about using the DOS energy once you have been qualified to use DOS, then what happens when DOS is curtailed, why it's curtailed. So that's a term in the rate is termed DOS recall. How it is charged, or in other words, how are you billed for DOS, the settlement, and also then lastly, what happens if you misuse DOS and the effects of the audit. So we'll cover each of those sections of the DOS mechanics through the DOS 101 session we're going to go through here shortly. So if we jump right into now the derivation of the DOS rate. So again, this is review. We covered this last time we talked, but I'll go through it again. That consistent with the original pricing principles that were originally filed on the first time this DOS rate was introduced to the electric industry. The 2010 GTA stated that the rate DTS costs are first converted by component to dollar per megawatt hour charges. And then we determine the variable components of those costs, which are attributable to demand opportunity service. And namely, those were the variable components of the bulk and local system charges, and then the operating reserve charge, and then allocated those into the DOS rate and just simply added them up. And the and that determined what was the 7-minute DOS rate. And then for the 1-hour and term DOS services, a contribution of the transmission fixed costs were also added to the 1-hour and the term services, so to get to the rates that we have today for 7-minute, 1-hour, and term DOS. Next slide. So now we'll go through the application process that the ISO is currently implemented. And it's relatively straightforward. Within Appendix A of the ISO tariff, there's an application form that a participant would be required to fill out in order to receive DOS. At a high level, it contains six key parts to it. The first one, of course, is when do you want to start receiving DOS, and when, and then the end date. Typically, that end date is 1 year, based on the term of the current DOS contract, but it could be shorter if the customer only wanted to use DOS for a short period of time. But you would declare your start and your end date. You would also declare how much contract capacity you're looking for in megawatts, over and above your DTS capacity. Within the form, you will indicate how often you intend to use that capacity over the course of the term, and also a rough estimate of how much energy per month you would be expected to consume under this rate. There's also a section that requires some technical information. We require your load characteristic, which is essentially just a description of the type of load that that you are as a customer, and just some of the behavioral characteristics of that load. An anticipated load factor that you would use for or estimated to be used for your DOS requirement, as well as a power factor so that we can assess the usage of that energy. In addition to that technical information, there's a requirement to provide a case to the ISO that and how you intend to use this capacity, either for a market opportunity or for the reasons of replacing a self-supply generator during a planned outage. We primarily focus here on the business case for market opportunity. And in that business case, you're to describe how this consumption would not otherwise occur under rate DTS. So the current application process goes as follows. It's relatively straightforward. You'd submit your application to the ISO. Within that application, there's a fee that is required. I believe it's $5,000 currently, that would accompany your application. The ISO would acknowledge that we'd received your application and are in the process of reviewing it. One of the preliminary checks is to ensure that the application is filled out completely. And if it isn't, we would send it back and have it completed properly before we take it into the assessment process. The assessment of the application is really done in is two parts. There's a regulatory slash economic assessment where we review that it's primarily the review of the business case that we're looking for evidence that the use of the service will not result in reduction of other revenues. The other part of the assessment is performed by the engineers at the ISO, where we ensure that the system can support this DOS load. So we would assess the power flows and voltage stability at peak load. And if we determined issues with the, with those preliminary assessments, we would then perform further studies and then provide the results of those studies back to the participant, which may result in an adjustment to the requested contract capacity or the rejection of the application. But either way, we would notify the participant that their application was successful or failed, and the reasons why. So that's the current application process. And now we'll jump into the what happens now that you've got DOS. I forgot about this other slide. Sorry, let's go to the current eligibility requirements. So here at what we're checking for in the business case is that there's a clear and convincing case that with supporting facts that demonstrates two things, that this energy will be used on a temporary and repeated short-term basis. The premise of this requirement is that if you're going to use this capacity on a longer term basis, then customers should really be considering DTS rather than DOS. And the other LGB requirement are, what is the reason for your DOS energy? Are you looking to take advantage of a market opportunity that requires additional electric energy? And the cost of receiving that additional electric energy under a DTS renders that opportunity uneconomic. The other reason for taking DOS would be to temporarily replace a self-supplied generator that's going on to a planned outage. So those are the eligibility requirements that must be contained within the application that you submit. And then there are a couple of reasons, if you go to the next slide, 25, as to why it would be we would find a DOS application ineligible. So there are two reasons why, two primary reasons why a DOS would not be permitted. So if you're looking to replace energy that is provided by on-site supply or self-supply due to an unplanned outage or derate, that is not a legitimate use of DOS energy. And also, if you are looking at an alternative, using DOS as an alternative to energy efficiency measures, the use of DOS could make these energy efficiency measures uneconomic, is not an eligible reason for using DOS. So hope that's said that clearly.
I think you said that clearly, Steve. There is a question that I think that makes sense to kind of slide in here, so I'm going to move it in. So from Paula, does the ISO use economic thresholds for any other connection, load, or generation?
In terms of eligibility for the rate, this would be the only rate that requires an economic assessment. DTS does not, STS does not, neither do the import or export opportunity services. So, DOS is the only rate that has this economic assessment in it.
Perfect. Thank you very much.
Can I just add, and that's implicit or an important part of the demand opportunity service, in the sense of it's supposed to be used as a service when DTS creates or renders the opportunity uneconomic. And so to benefit all customers by providing additional revenue to reduce the overall revenue requirement, it's an opportunity service. And therefore, I guess by design, it must meet that eligibility threshold.
No, that's a good point. Yeah, absolutely. And are there any other questions before I move on to the mechanics of transaction?
One more has just come in, and I'll position the question to you. I'll let you determine if you want to answer it now or later, but from Albert Wong, could you provide the timing of ISO's review of the DOS application? Is it days? Is it weeks? And I think that's likely in context of how it works today more than anything.
Yeah. There is a requirement. And sorry, I'm drawing a blank as to what it was. I'd have to go look at the raid, but it's actually spelled out in the raid. I believe it's 45 days. For some reason is the length of time that that once we receive the application to the time we have to approve it. And that includes all the time we need to do the studies as well as the economic assessment. But subject slide, to check, I should say.
Slide 23, you're close, it's 30 days.
30 days, okay, thank you.
Well, let's be honest though, that's not close. That's like off by an order of...
Well,
50% margin of error isn't close.
Oh, there it is. Yeah, thanks. Right in the slide. Okay. Yes.
I see nothing else right now, Steve. I think you can continue and move on.
To how to use DOS, the transaction request process, how it currently exists today. So let's go to the next slide, please. So the process here, and Nicole had mentioned this, it describes you if you're qualified for DOS and you want to use your DOS energy, you would submit to the ISO via fax a form that again provided in the appendix of the current tariff, your transaction request. And in this transaction request, it would indicate the length of time you and volume of energy that you would intend to use for DOS. So you would submit this request into the ISO. The ISO you hope that the ISO received that fax, and you are to follow up with the ISO to make sure that we received that fax. The ISO will then assess the request to ensure that there are no current system constraints and sufficient capacity to support that request. And then the ISO would then either approve or reject that request. The request would really only be denied for two reasons. One was that the form you submitted was incomplete. And so we deem that an erroneous request, or that you were submitting a transaction request when you didn't actually have a DOS contract, or that the actual volumes you were requesting exceeded your contract capacity or your estimated megawatt hours per month that you'd submitted in your original application. The other reason would be that there is an actual system event going on that would not allow the capacity you're requesting. And it may just result in an adjustment to the amount of DOS that you need to take. Though this assessment is not as complicated as it sounds. The assessment is done using the information that the system controller has available to them at the time that the request was received. That request is received either 1 hour to 10 days in advance of the time you wish to use that DOS energy. And it's just a simple assessment of knowing where that customer is and what's going on from a planned or current state of the electric grid, whether that DOS energy would be able to flow without causing constraint. So it's not a very a deep assessment, but however, we do a quick assessment to ensure that there is some DOS capacity available to take at the start of the request, at least. It doesn't guarantee throughout the term of the request that DOS capacity will be there.
And Steve, the only questions you have right now is maybe some folks laughing at technological prowess of the ISO's process and insisting that facts be the medium. So maybe here's the point that you want to say this is the current version of the process, yes, and the desire to modernize a little bit.
Yeah, I'll stress the very first word on the slide there, current. So everything I'm talking about here is current, and again, stresses why we want to modernize the rate and make the process more in tune with the technologies we have today.
And maybe just while we're at a slight pause, I see some questions that are coming in. I would say we're just going to hit park because this is obviously the current side of things and making sure you understand how the current process works and some of the designs for it. I think there's more of an intention looking to the modernized process that the questions are coming in. So we'll park those for that kind of portion of the conversation. So back over to you, Steve, please.
Thank you. All right. So now that you've requested your transaction, the ICE and assume that the ISO's approved it, you would then be permitted to take your DOS energy. And that would be any energy above your DTS levels, up to the amount you requested in your transaction request. So then what will happen is, as you're consuming that DOS energy, there is the possibility that that energy could be recalled. And that's what this next section talks about. So if we go to the next slide. Recall, we'll have to talk about the actual specific types to talk about how recall works. So there are three types, as I mentioned earlier, of DOS. The 7-minute recall, which obviously means within 7 minutes of being instructed by the ISO to stop using your DOS energy, you would be given 7 minutes to restore your load levels back down to DTS levels. And that rate is currently around $5.50. And 7 minutes, we believe, was chosen because it was a reasonable amount of time that we felt we could give notice to the customer and give them time to react to that instruction. There were some customers that at the time had specified that they would like to use DOS, but felt that a 7-minute time frame was too quick for their operations. So the ISO created a 1-hour, well, not the ISO, but the transmission administrator of the day created another rate, the 1-hour rate, which was more expensive, but gave customers an hour to take their load off from the time they were noticed. The last rate, the term rate, is a little different. The term rate is intended to primarily for the use by self-supply generators, where they need to take that generator down for planned outage and need to rely on the grid for the energy for their load. So that rate is quite a bit more expensive and effectively reflects the DTS rate in dollars per megawatt hour. However, if you're taking that energy for use of your planned outage, it still may be recalled, and it is recalled within 7 minutes. The only difference between the term rate recall and the 7 and 1 hour minute recalls is that the ISO would attempt to recall the 7 minute and 1 hour energy first before picking on the term customers. But what we found historically looking back was that if it was an EEA event, or we're at the top of the merit order and we have to curtail all of our DOS loads, they were all being curtailed at roughly the same time. And if it was curtailed for system constraint reasons, obviously we would only be curtailing the customers that were effective in alleviating the constraint. And then it would only be in that instance if there were two DOS customers in a particular area that would be effective, that we would then recall the 7 minute and 1 hour DOS rates first. So that's effectively how recall works. If we go to the next slide, there are three reasons. I mentioned one just previously as to why we would recall DOS Energy. The first one is for supply adequacy reasons. So this happens when the ISO goes into emergency energy emergency alerts. And we have three levels of emergency. Energy emergency alert. And it's the first level where we would indicate that we are curtailing DOS. The other reason that we would curtail or recall DOS is real-time transmission constraints. So there is a customer that is using DOS that through the reduction of their load would help reduce or remove the transmission constraint, that DOS energy would be recalled. Also, if in within a region we're having voltage issues, we would then recall DOS energy if we felt the DOS energy recall would help with the voltage problem. The recall is issued to all DOS loads, as I mentioned, that would be effective in the order of the priority that I just talked about on the previous slide. When we do recall that energy, the system controller does not try to assess the duration of that contingency. It's a very difficult question. I know it's important to know when that energy would be available again, but it's really a wait and see. The notification at the end of the event is often made through our public event reporting. So it's not a direct notification to each individual DOS customer that they can now start resume using DOS. It would pretty much relies, the customer has to rely on the public reporting to know when that DOS capacity would be available again. Often if you've seen a contingency, often what you'll see at the end of the event is something to the effect that DOS customers can resume taking that DOS load. Again, it's been such a long time since, and we have so few customers on DOS that we don't see that message in our event log very often. So let's move on now to the next section, which is how DOS is charged and how settlement works for DOS energy. And it's relatively straightforward. All settlement is based on the metered volumes. And so what we do in tariff settlement is simply any energy that exceeds the DTS contract amount during a transaction request would be charged under the DOS rate. Now that's important that it's during the transaction request. So if you take excess energy outside of your transaction request today, that would be charged under rate DTS and could be considered usage over and above your contract capacity and may result in an adjustment to your DTS contract capacity. But during a transaction request where you had specifically requested during a period of time, I'm going to take a certain amount of DOS capacity, the ISO will then say, within the bounds of your transaction request, we will charge DOS for any energy over and above your DTS contract capacity. There is one exception to that is if you exceed your contract capacity. So in this little example, there was a little bump up over the 30 megawatt level in the middle of the diagram. At that point, any energy that's consumed above the 30 megawatts would be charged back to DTS rather than DOS. So any energy consumed in the light blue area, charged under DOS. All energy consumed in the below 10 megawatts would be charged under DTS. So relatively straightforward, but an important note to say that if you do exceed your either your contract capacity or your transaction request capacity, that would be charged under rate DTS. Okay, now go to the next slide. There's also a provision within the settlement of DOS that's take or pay. So the DOS settlement includes this provision where if a DOS customer submits a transaction request and to use DOS energy in a month, but does not actually use as much energy as indicated in the transaction request, the customer may have to pay the volumes that was in the transaction request or 75% of the transaction request energy rather than the actual energy consumed. So in other words, if you didn't consume as much as you'd said you would in the transaction request, you could end up paying this take a pay amount, which would be 75% of the transaction request energy, whether you consumed it or not. We believe the intent of this provision was to have market participants submit realistic transaction requests and demonstrate a real intent to use the DOS energy. The DOS settlement includes also an allocation of losses that for any DOS energy that is consumed in the month. So each DOS load would be given a loss factor, and we would apply a loss calculation just like we do on generators for any DOS load that is consumed in the month. So that's effectively settlement. It's the DOS settled at the DOS rate when you consume above your DTS levels during a transaction request. Outside a transaction request, all energy is settled at DTS. And then there's a take or pay provision if you submit that transaction request and you actually don't use it, as well an allocation of any energy that you do consume within that transaction request under rate DOS would be assessed losses. Now that loss, it could be a loss credit or a loss charge, depending on what your loss factor is. If we go to the next slide. We will now talk about the misuse of DOS. So within the rate and the terms and conditions, we have the ability to perform an audit of DOS. And again, as I mentioned back when DOS was originally created, it was a recommendation by the board at the time to include that ability to ensure that DOS is being used appropriately. And that audit capability has been in the rate ever since. So the effects of disqualification, the ISO may audit a market participant's circumstances to verify that the use of DOS complies with the ISO tariff and request additional information. We use this information to determine whether the use of DOS has failed to comply with the eligibility criteria and or identify any circumstances that would justify leniency or severity in applying retroactive charges. So what that means is if the DOS finds that the market participant has breached the DOS terms and has used it improperly, all the metered energy delivered to the market participant will be billed under rate DTS as of the effective date of the disqualification, and the ISO will terminate billing under rate DOS. The ISO may also have the ability to recover retroactive amounts for periods of time during which the market participant did not qualify or was billed under rate DOS. So there is an audit capability and the ability to ensure that through the review of the use of DOS that DTS participants are held harmless, so that the DOS still remains a revenue maximizing rate and it's not being used in a way that is deemed a substitution for rate DTS. So that effectively takes us through the journey of DOS as it exists today. And again, I'll stop now for any questions on the current DOS rate before we jump into the ISO's proposed changes to this rate.
I'm seeing more questions related to maybe how the rate's going to be used. I guess it's about a 50-50 split on how the rate and the proposal is going to be used. So we'll park those ones for now. The two that I'm going to funnel to you, though, Steve, from Cheryl Laird. Do you have any historical numbers of megawatts applied for and granted under DOS? We know it's underutilized, undersubscribed today, but do you have any visibility or views to that?
Yes, we do. And in fact, it's provided in the appendix of the slides. I have to flip down and see where it is.
Slide 90. There's a little sprite in my ear.
Okay. If we want to just flip to that slide, sure, we'll just quickly walk through this. So the historical DOS we have historically had through the entire duration of DOS, 31 sites. There are only two currently applied for DOS under this rate, but there historically have been 31 different sites that have used DOS. There have been over 2,500 transaction requests submitted for that DOS energy over the 20 odd years that we've had this DOS rate. DOS 1 hour, that rate, there's been only 11 sites. And the last time we saw use of that rate was in 2004. So it's been a long time since anyone's ever used DOS 1 hour. And during that time, between its inception and 2004, there were 207 transaction requests or requests for use of DOS. DOS term is used a little more commonly. There's one site currently on that rate. There have been historically 22 sites that have existed or have qualified for that rate. And seeing we're on this slide, let me walk through the recalls that we've seen historically. So we broke this into two parts, mostly because the data was in two different systems. But from 2006 to 2012, we saw a number of recalls for supply adequacy reasons. There were 32 EE events that occurred during that time frame, and any DOS energy would have been recalled for that reason. There were also 70 recalls that occurred for constraint or voltage reasons. Now back then, I think a lot of them were due to the keg issues, if you recall that, where we had a lot of constraints between North and South Alberta. And a lot of those recalls were done because of that constraint. In 2013 to 2021, there have been 41 EE events that have occurred, and any DOS energy that was being taken during those events would have been recalled. And then there was only ever one recall for constraint and voltage in that time frame. So I hope that answers your question. A lot of gory detail there, but that's pretty much how DOS has been used historically.
Thanks, Steve. We're going to go to Chris Best's just question. I think it's a quick hitter that we can get through. And then we're going to move to Leonard's question here next. How does the statement that there are only two reasons for denial of a DOS application when there's supposed to be an economic case? I think that's just a quick clarification, if you can walk through that, Steve.
Okay, I'm just making sure I understand the question. Sorry, could you...
I think it's quite... a clarification that you made the statement earlier that there's only two reasons to deny a DOS request. I think it's speculated that maybe there's a third if there's an economic reason or rationale. I think it's just looking for that clarity. Chris, if you do want to come off mute, maybe you can ask your question direct too. Yeah, I think you can go ahead and unmute yourself now, Chris.
Can you hear me?
Yes, we can.
Hi, thanks. Yeah, Steve, and I don't specifically recall the words, but you said there was only two reasons for denying DOS, and I think it was, there was a slide where...
Yeah, I think it was slide 25. This one? Or...
Nope, a little later than that. You were talking about, I guess it's 27, the bottom of 27.
Oh, okay. So
the transaction request may be denied for two reasons.
Oh, the transaction request. Okay, so this is not eligibility. This is simply...
Oh, okay.
You have you've been deemed eligible to provide DOS. It's just when you want to go use that DOS energy, you had to submit this form to the ISO, and if the form was incomplete, or there was not enough information on there to assess the request, the ISO would reject it. The other reason would be that if you're coming into an already existing system problem and you want to use that DOS energy, and we just obviously know that there's no capacity available for you to take, we would just let you know that. Those were the two reasons why we deny that request. But it's not
makes a sense. Sorry, yeah. My misunderstanding. I wasn't comprehending the two-step process, and the first being the application process and the second being the transaction request, right?
Okay, thanks.
Okay, thanks.
Thanks, Chris.